Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station Monday through Friday, every day at the same time. And on yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at a subject referencing a scripture found in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that we are, in fact, image bearers of God Almighty. We are the very handiwork of God. So what does it mean to be in His image? Who do you reflect today? Did you ever really think about that? I know this is a familiar scripture, and we just give honor and affirmation to the fact that, yes, we are God's handiwork, but we don't really think about that much in relation to our day-to-day lives. But the Bible talks about our first parents, Adam and Eve, and we have a choice in our Christian walk. We could reflect Adam, who in his sin and rebellion fell. That represents, if you will, the carnal nature. That's representing Adam. Or we can choose to represent the second man, Adam, which is Jesus, who came a perfect substitute, was willing to accept the punishment and the just punishment for the sins that we as a people committed. And if we are saved, if we confess Him, then our desire is to just surrender to Him, to abandon ourselves to Him, so that we can really reflect Christ and not that carnal sin nature. John the Baptist had it right. He said, "I must decrease that He might increase." So who do you represent today? Something to think about. But let's go on now to look at what the Bible has to say about the origin of human life. Genesis 1, 26 and 28 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And then we see in verse 28, God's first act of speaking. God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so God blessed them. And here we see such a beautiful, loving relationship. Here's grace and kindness and affection toward the man and woman. And God said to them. So He speaks to them, knowing that unlike other animal forms and life forms, we're personal, brother and sister. We're made in the image and likeness of God, so we can communicate. He can talk to us. We can respond. That's the essence of our relationship. So Genesis, the first chapter really is a panoramic view of creation. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, we see the account moves into look more specifically and particularly at the man and woman. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." When God made the rest of creation, think about that. He spoke. But when God made man, He formed with His very hands man out of the very dust of the earth. There was a very personal involvement in the making of humanity. He also breathed into man, giving us a spirit. So we're not just material bodies. Praise God. It says he breathed. That means to cause life to be loosed, to cause to come to life. Now, some might say, you know, is God male or female? Well, John, the 4th chapter, verse 24, clearly says that God is a spirit. And that's not, he doesn't have a gender, but both male and female of his creation were both in his image, were both aspects of God. One's not better than the other. There's a beautiful equality. It's true, the Bible does, in terms of our King James, just for convenience sake, refers to God in masculine terms, but it says clearly when God created man, he made them male and female, which are aspects of the Godhead. So he creates and then he speaks to them. So we were created to commune. And when you spend time with the Lord, you begin to know him. Praise God. And so in chapter 2, this is what he's doing. He's creating man. Everything else he said, and it was so. But he didn't speak man into existence. He breathed into him the breath of life, and the word says he became a living being, which literally the actual Hebrew words mean speaking spirit. Praise God. Why? Because God intends to communicate with the man and the woman, with all of us. Genesis 2:15 and 18 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Now, in all of creation, all the other life forms, there is a function in them. It's called instinct. And it's just amazing. The fish of the sea, salmon, they migrate upstream to where they were spawned. Birds fly amazing distances, all because of what God has programmed into them. It's the instincts that God has given them. But it's interesting to note that in this, the first handiwork of God in Adam, he said, I will make a helper. So apparently Adam must have needed some help. And he put this, remember, he put a tree there, and you say, well, why would God put a tree in the garden? Because he knew he was going to fall, man was going to fall, they were going to sin. But that tree was simply a reminder that God owned everything. And it was to remind Adam and Eve of their stewardship. Also of the fact that they had free will. They weren't robots. They weren't slaves. They weren't automatons. They had the liberty to disobey. And so in God's wisdom and providence, he allowed this. This was the scenario in the beginning where Adam and Eve had a choice to love and to fellowship with God or to choose to disobey. And so God can speak to us moral commands, and we can understand those and choose to obey or disobey. You see, we have the same choice. But he clearly warns us the wage for sin is death. God says, eat of anything except one thing, and if you do, that is sin, and you will die. Now, they didn't die immediately physically. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. Physically, that came some years later. But it was true nonetheless. In verse 18, the word goes on to say, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, up until this point, everything God created, he said, was good. Think about that. But he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, look at the order of creation. The man has God above him. We were created a little lower than God. And he placed creation beneath man. But he doesn't have anyone alongside of him. He doesn't have a peer or a friend, an equal, a lover or helper. And so God says, I will make a helper comparable to him. Now, some women bristle at the very concept or word of helper. They think it's like a servant or a slave, and of course that's been promulgated for those that don't have the wisdom and the heart of God. But actually, when you think of that word helper, it's a very positive term scripturally. First of all, it infers that the man needs help, and generally probably all men would agree to that. And secondly, it's the same language that the Bible uses for God, and that God is our helper, and that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called the helper. So in the same way that God helps the man, the woman is also helpful to the man. Let's go on now in Genesis 2, 19 through 25. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So in verse 19-20, we see, what do we see? The man is giving names to the animals. This is obviously dominion. This is authority. This is rule. He's acting out that command God gave him. And in verse 21, man is created from the dust of the earth by God's own hands. The woman is created from the rib, or the side of man. And this is, again, a beautiful illustration of the place of woman, because it shows that woman is not to go out ahead of him, as feminism would teach, or behind him, as chauvinism would teach, but as the scriptures teach, alongside of him, as an equal image bearer of God. Praise God. Well, those are some beautiful thoughts to consider, and it just dissolves all the tensions and problems that man has put between the sexes. There's no conflict. There's only beautiful harmony by divine order and plan. Praise God. Well, I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope that you'll be able to join me. And in the moments that remain, I would just like to invite you to please write and share your prayer requests. If you are being blessed by the broadcast, feel free to send me an email. It's always good to hear from new folks that are listening. And I do thank you for your prayer support, UCM partners, and all that you do financially that we can remain on the station. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for everybody.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,